It's time for the Big Three, brought to you by the Metal Store. Discover why the Metal Store has become the name to know for premier manufacturer of quality metal roofing. The Metal Store is your one-stop shop for all your metal roofing and metal buildings.
Harden has it up top. Harden with a drive. Harden dunks it with a left hand, and he's fouled. James Harden carrying the Rockets right back into game four.
Now that was an impressive play. Not only that, because Green was right on top of him, going for the shot block, and he just jammed it right over his head.
And we have a series. The series is on, 2-2, headed back to Houston, and we'll see if the Rockets can maintain at the home court advantage after they've stolen it back from the Warriors. Dusty, that was a great effort by the Rockets last night. They played great defense down the stretch. They forced the Warriors into being a team that they are not normally, a team that goes into iso ball, takes bad shots, didn't look for their teammates. Huge play in the fourth quarter. Huge effort from the Rockets to gain extra possessions that resulted in a three-point shot by Trevor Ariza. And more activity, grinded out toughness that I've seen from Houston in a long time. That was the game won by the Rockets' defense, not something I think most people believe that they would hear in this series.
So I want to apologize for last hour. I felt like I came off the top rope a little too hard. I'm sorry.
You can come off the top rope with me if you want.
It wasn't really at you. It wasn't pointed at you. I heard so much of it. Like, it was really, and I love Charles Barkley. I love the TNT crew. I enjoy it. But I got so tired of hearing everybody just say, this rock, they got no shot, man. It's going to be 3-0. It's going to be a sweep. They'll be lucky to win a game. Everyone was saying that. I think it was really selling short what Chris Paul, James Harden put together and what those other guys they added and the defense that they were committed to playing all year. It's a good Rockets team, and we've got a good series. It wasn't really at you, but I just heard so many people act like the Golden State Warriors are just it's an impossibility to even think about staying on the floor with them. And at least through four games, the Rockets have showed otherwise. Defense, toughness, refuse to lose mentality, desperation mode. I thought Chris Paul was fantastic in the second half. James Harden was great in the first half. That dunk over, by the way, I'm not going to lie, guilty pleasure for me.
Well, that was awesome.
Is whenever Draymond Green gets either dunked on or gets rejected by the rim. How sweet was that?
And the Warriors in possession.
How about that block out there by Draymond Green?
Here's Durant setting it up. Oh, Green missed the stuff.
Just rejected by the rim. I'm sorry, Mark. I know he's a great player. I respect the role that he serves on that team. But I'm not going to lie. I really enjoyed Harden stuff it in his face. And I enjoyed right on the same level the rim getting the better of Draymond Green last night. So that was good. But, P.J. Tucker, that dude, 16 rebounds. That guy's guarding KD. That guy's guarding – just about everybody, because they switch everything. I thought his defense, his effort was outstanding. Trevor Ariza, I thought he was just a madman last night defensively. And, Eric Gordon, though I didn't think Eric Gordon had the impact that I heard Barkley and the TNT guys, I thought that initially after 12-0, he stepped up and gave them some momentum. He kind of got them out of that hole and started taking it to the rim. On the whole night, though, he didn't shoot it that well. But, man, Houston refused to lose. And I'll also say, Mark, the Golden State Warriors just didn't play well. And part of that's because Houston put them in bad situations. But Kevin Durant fell into ISO Kevin Durant to another degree. Was the shot selection for Golden State was terrible. The ball movement was non-existent in the fourth quarter. And they played right into the hand of the Houston Rockets. And I thought for a team that possesses, three of the best shooters in the NBA, for them to go 3 of 18 in the fourth quarter, I thought they shriveled up mightily in a big game in this series. So a lot of praise to Houston, but I also think you got to be critical of Golden State because they did not play well offensively down the stretch of that game.
The Harden dunk on Draymond may be one of his finer playoff moments. I'll take that and lay the points against any kind of make somebody go put somebody on skates and hit a three-point shot over him. That was a great athletic feat there. But if the Rockets want to win this series, that's going to have to happen three times or maybe two, but I think three, that P.J. Tucker plays out his ass. I mean, he's going to have to get 16 rebounds. He's going to have to do those things. I mean, they're going to have superlative effort. They're going to have Clint Capella show up and gain extra possessions and do all those things, because the Warriors aren't going to shoot the way they shot last night down the stretch, I don't think, two more times in this series. I think that they'll get that corrected. And I do think that even though they went away with a whimper last night, a lot of that is deserved by Houston taking credit for playing the defense they will. I do think the Warriors are going to bounce back and have some better efforts. So, hey, the series is on. It will
That's
be
right.
fun. It's not a blowout anymore. And this series is competitive, just as the other series, I think, is going to get more competitive as we go to these final three games.
Absolutely. And I thank the basketball gods. Finally, they gave us a great conference finals game because last night, again, it wasn't great basketball, but it was so competitive. And you got a single possession game down, even to the point where Steph Curry gets a clean look with, I don't think the ball was out of his hand, but that was kind of a crazy ending the way that went down too. But this is why we love sports. The most talented team doesn't always win. Effort, energy, toughness, it still plays a vital role. And Houston was chock full of that. And I've got to turn the mic over to a man who's got to be feeling pretty good right now. I know there's a long way to go in this series, Mitchell, but just the effort and the toughness that your team displayed, that had to be a fun game for you to watch.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, this is what I've been talking about all year when you guys have been asking me if I'm worried about the Rockets. This is still a really good team. I mean, yeah, they had a couple bad games this series, but they've been doing this stuff all year. You know, I mean, even when they're not shooting the ball well, they can still play defense. They can rebound. They can drive in and score. And they did that last night. I mean, it's a close game. Obviously, I think Golden State's probably slightly better, but two of the next three are in Houston. So the Rockets still got a shot at this. And, I mean, the Rockets are still a really good team. That's what I've been pointing out all year.
That's why these series are pretty good, Dusty, is because the teams that are favored to win, to me, the better teams, have to do it on the road.
Yep, no, that's
people
exactly
in Golden
right.
State.
And as Mitchell said, and I thought it was a pretty cool at last night when Chris Paul is doing his post game interview. He gives a little message to the city of Houston.
You know, the city of Houston, we're gonna need you. We're gonna need you game five. You know, the city's been through a tough time with the things in Santa Fe, but man, I don't know. Hopefully, basketball can be a way that people can come and ease their minds, if only for a second. So, you know, Houston, we coming home.
I thought that was a good message right there, Mark.
Going in the background?
What's that?
They had some Doobie Brothers going in the background there.
Oh, I missed the background. I thought that was a heartfelt little message for the city of Houston. And I would think that even though Houston gets criticized and ridiculed for their lack of a quality crowd, I got to imagine that place is going to be rocking tomorrow night.
You know what? It was really – I think it was unfortunate for the Ultimate yesterday that he was trying to champion Russell Westbrook's part in the demise of the Thunder 2 years ago. In fact, and I did ponder to myself, what if Kevin Durant fails in this series epically? It looked like he had a little bit of part in that last night. There will be no Russell Westbrook to blame. Russell is not on the floor with him this time around. But Durant was poor last night.
Now, part of that, too, what Mark, was Durant's been making some tough shots all series. You know, seen
right.
that? And it's hard to keep that going. It was like when the Warriors made that comeback in the third quarter, those weren't easy shots they were making. And they
Steph
stopped
Curry
making them later.
It's
yeah, it's those shots are just hard to keep up. And I think that's kind of what's happening with Durant here, is he's got to start getting some open looks.
But that's credit to the Rockets for the defense that they were playing. But the Warriors, if there is one team that can make tough shots and tough threes, it is the Warriors. That happened in the Thunder series somewhat. I mean, they'll go through stretches where they don't make shots, but these aren't 10-minute games and one game series. That's why it's going to be tough to eliminate Golden State, is that they're that good, that the mean, there's the regression to the mean is they're going to make shots, not miss, because these guys are historically good shooters. But the Rockets defense made it tough on them last night. If they continue to make it that tough on them, this series is going to be very difficult for Golden State to win.
Yep. Let's hear some audio from the head coaches from last night. We've kind of touched on it quite a bit, but you can boil down a lot of things, but really I thought the biggest difference I saw between the two teams was the level of toughness that Houston played with.
No, it's all about toughness right now. You know, it's going to be spotty both ways. I think there was great basketball played on both sides, stretches of it. The rest of it was just gutting it out and finding a will, a way, and a want. Somebody asked me before the game about our adversity or, you know, how do we respond. I think we saw not only respond for the game, we're down 12-0. And we fall back, and holding them to 12 points in the fourth quarter obviously was key.
I think that's well said. That's kind of how the game went, Mark. There were stretches of offensive brilliance. Like James Harden in the second quarter was unbelievable. Steph Curry in the third quarter, like there were spurts. But then there's also, it was just gutted out who wants it more for large parts of that game yesterday. And he pointed the number 12, such a key number from last night. They go down 12-0 out to shoot, and it was like, oh, here we go, 40-point blowout again. I know that's what everybody's thinking. But they turn that around, they fight back. Then Golden State reestablishes the lead, the command of the game. They go up 12 again in the third. Houston fights back. I thought that's when Chris Paul really dug down, and you mentioned it, Mark. That three that he made to counter that Durant shot was so big for Houston. And then to hold them to 12 points in the fourth quarter, Mark, that was, I mean, there's no chance you would have, I could have sold you on that being any way a possibility that Houston's going to go into Golden State and hold them to 12 points in the fourth quarter and walk away with a victory. So, I mean, it really did come down to some toughness from the Houston Rockets, which I don't think prior to the series many people felt that they possessed, right? I mean, whether it be the coach Mike D'Antoni, James Harden, who's been criticized, and Chris Paul, who's been criticized heavily with his postseason career.
D'Antoni was the he's the Yoda of the series so far. We had it yesterday talking about the pressure all being on the Warriors and all, you know, that kind of thing. They clearly looked like they were feeling the pressure down the stretch last night. They were throwing up bad shots. So something they don't usually do. They move the ball around pretty well.
They were tired last night, Mark, and Steve Kerr talked about them running out of gas.
I thought we made that great push in the third, but we weren't really able to make many subs. We were going well, so we didn't want to disrupt our rhythm. But our normal sub pattern obviously was skewed anyway with Andre's absence. But I felt like in the fourth quarter, you know, we just ran out of gas. We scored 12 points. Tried to buy a little bit of rest for our guys, but they just outplayed us in the fourth, and they earned it.
Andre's absence is important, but it didn't define the game last night. They didn't lose the game last night because Andre Iguodala isn't on the floor. But the drop in talent and overall what it means to the Warriors defensively, I think, and then just for a guy to be out there that's unselfish is huge between Bell and Looney and Iguodala and the minutes played. It's going to be much tougher if he doesn't come back for the Warriors to win. I think they can adjust a little bit more as the games go forward, because guys will get used to their new roles and the things that they have to do. But that's not the reason why they lost last night, and nobody should suggest it. It's a reason why they weren't as good, but it's not a reason that they lost.
They still had a ton of opportunities to win the game, and I just, you know, ran out of gas. I think the physicality throughout the course of the game for Houston, probably it was, body blow, body blow, body blow by the fourth quarter. They were a little bit run down, but I was reading an article by Chris Haynes today, and I've heard some other people, commentators, you know, speak to the point of kind of like you heard Steve Kerr reference. He didn't go there, but he opened the door because now the rotations were off with Andre out. And I've seen a lot of people point to the amount of minutes played. The Warriors last night had two guys over 40 minutes. Draymond had 45. KD had 43. I think Clay and Steph had 39 apiece. The Houston Rockets had four guys over 40 minutes last night, and Eric Gordon played 35. You think they weren't just as tired? Like, I thought that. I just think that's a weak cop out and a weak excuse. Those guys are capable of playing 40 minutes on a game that's going to put them up 3-1 on their home floor, right? I mean, these are highly well conditioned, highly trained athletes. I mean, I don't know. I don't like hearing that as an excuse. I think that's a weak excuse for me.
I tell you this, I think that D'Antoni shortening the bench has been a big help for the Rockets.
No Mbamute, Mark.
I don't think they should play him. I don't. I think that they should play the guys that to me, he's not healthy. If he was healthy, I think that he should be part of the rotation. But he's not healthy, so they got to get out what they can of the guys that they put on the floor. That's the most important thing to me is, you know, you got to play the guys out there that can produce, and he hasn't been able to produce very much in this series. So you have to shorten the bench. It's important against a team like Golden State because in the regular season, they're going to run some of those guys in. And Golden State's bench has been much better in the past than it is right now. They've got a lot of younger players on the bench, and they've got a lot of guys like, you know, Nick Young. I don't know what, you know, what he's going to provide. And Craig brought up the good point that it's hard to play their centers. You can't play JaVale McGee in the series. You can't play Pachulia in the series. It's hard to play David West a whole lot of minutes.
David West is tough to play.
So the bench is really short for the Warriors right now, and that means they're going to have their really good players on the floor for most of the game. And that's tough to match up with, so the Rockets have to kind of do the same. The Rockets are a team that likes to play a lot of people. They play a lot of people in the regular season, but you can't do it like you do in the regular season. You don't want your bench out there. Witness Toronto. You don't want your bench out there playing against the other team's best players. Regular season, the bench is great. It's important. It can lead you to a 50-win season. But in the playoffs, it can get you killed if you're playing those guys against stars on the other team.
No doubt. No doubt. We got a series, though, Marcus.
Dusty, this has been one of the weirdest weeks I've ever been a part of on The Animal. I have no idea. The great Tom Rinaldi was on earlier today. I thought somebody roofied him. I'm a little concerned. Not only did he kept calling Craig Bob, he kept calling Bob Craig. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know that it was what was going on with that. I had any idea. And then Rinaldi hijacked the interview and started interviewing Craig.
We had the ultimate yesterday. I had a team of researchers.
Hey,
no, when we get back.
I had no idea.
When we get back,
that he had a team of researchers, or that was even available, or a part of something that we could do at the station.
Well, tease that, because I do have a couple of questions for the missile in that regard. There, I feel like information has been withheld from us at Cumulus Radio in Oklahoma City. So I do have some questions about what transpired from about 2 to 3 o'clock yesterday. And I think the only person that can give me at least a decent idea of some answers to the missile. So where are you at today, Mark?
I'm at the Metal Store. We are here in Edmond on Waterloo Road. If you need anything metal built, the Metal Store can do it. MetalStoreOK.com, 348-0800. Statewide delivery is available, Dusty. That means from clear down in Hayworth all the way out to Boise City. Distributors located all areas of Oklahoma. No project too big or too small. The MetalStoreOK.com. Here's and Dusty Dvorak. We'll visit with Royce Young next hour. This has been a weird week, Dusty. It's been a weird week on the radio station. It was a little weird on Monday. It's been a little weird. It was a little weird this morning. I was glued to the radio yesterday at 2 o'clock. I thought that there was like some kind of email that had been infiltrated, that we had evidence of the Thunder miscommunicating or doing something to the public that was going to be a stunner.
All we really did, Mark, is it was a day for time travel. So if you're into that kind of thing, you probably loved it because
Jim, you know what happened 30 years ago today?
I do not know. Tell me.
I graduated from high school, brother.
Oh, very nice. Can we get a standing ovation?
I'm dying to the day.
Wow.
I don't. You're kind of showing your age here, which is good. I like that.
Oh, you know how old I'll be in 30 years? 78. I'm as close to those glory days of high school as I am to being almost 80.
Is there anything that you remember?
Somebody send me a beer.
Is there anything you've taken with you from that glorious day 30 years ago?
I remember the party that we had the day of graduation like it was yesterday. Yeah. I hope I remember it when I'm 78. Of course.
So, well, congratulations.
I'm going to a graduation this weekend. How long do you think that's probably going to last? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 hours, something like that?
I'm not sure. I can trump that, though. I'm not trying to one-up you.
You're going to a graduation tonight.
Today. My little sister's graduating. She's graduating from Lake Dallas High School. The final Dvorak that'll graduate from that illustrious school system. So I'm very proud of her.
Jump off the river bridge down there?
I don't know if I'll have time, if I'll make it, but my brother is driving in from Tulsa, and as soon as we get through on the radio show today, we're going to head south, and we're going to go cheer on our little sis, and very exciting. She's very smart. She's probably the smartest of our clan She finished, I think, third or fourth in her class. I think she's graduating around 300 tonight. But she is taking her talents north of the Red River, much like two of her brothers, and she is going to be a student at Oklahoma next year. So I'm excited to have her up in Norman and getting her education from the same place that my wife and I did. So she's pumped, man. She's got her OU sweatshirt, and she's ready to roll. And you really know the real reasoning. I mean, to a degree, you would think that that's some built-in child care, right? I mean, like, your sister, college student, needs some extra money, like,
kind of
thinking about making
needs,
a room for her.
She's got things that you need. You know, she's going to need a washing machine, and then you're going to need a babysitter. I think those things go, they're congruent.
There's one anniversary you guys are missing today. 30 years ago today. You know what happened?
Well, I should know.
Besides Mark's graduation, the 1988 Baltimore Orioles won their third straight game. Longest winning streak of the season.
I was checking those box scores back in Blackwell. Knew that I would be an associate of the Ultimate.
How?
At the time.
I just want to know. This tells me there's no doubt in my mind at this point. Missile, with you pulling up a stat of that level from 30 years ago, that would tell me that you're the number one intel that's part of Traber's research staff. So
No, I'm not. I would have guessed right when he had me guess what he was going to talk about.
You guessed twice part of the yesterday research. And guessed wrong.
I know. I guessed three times, technically.
So you're not
I
a member of the
guesses,
research
though.
Team?
Thank you. No, I'm not. I'm not included on the research team.
You haven't reached that level yet in your journalistic career. Huh?
No, I haven't.
So
where did he find these people?
How long did it take you to pull that up from 30 years ago today?
It took me, as soon as you said what happened 30 years ago today, I looked it up. So, like, I don't know.
What would you charge Jim to be part, outside the obligations and the duties that you already have, what would you charge him to be the leader of his research team now that you can pull up things from 30 years ago in, like, a minute?
I would have him double my salary to be the leader of the team.
I think it's a bargain. Dusty, don't you think it's a bargain?
Absolutely. I can just tell you this. Based off the information that was given by the Ultimate yesterday, it makes me happy, and I think that it's good that you've let the listeners know that you are not a member of this research team, because he was talking about them in detail, and he said it took an hour and a half for his staff to get back with him with the results from the 2016 Western Conference Finals. And I got to tell you, in today's day and age, that's not much of a research team if it takes an hour and a half. We could get that done in a minute and a half max. Right, Mark? I mean, because that's what the unveiling was yesterday. And
you know what, Dusty? Or 3 years after this momentous day in my life when I graduated, I went to college at OU, and there was a class called Library Science. I bet they do not offer that class anymore. Because we learned all about the Dewey Decimal System, and at the time, the fledgling internet, where in the library you could look some things up if you paid
Mark,
the fee.
Took that class.
You took Library
I
Science?
I took that class. It was an online class. It was an easy A, so I took it.
Wow.
I can't believe they still have Library Science, because the core material in there has had to change significantly since the time that I was in it.
I don't know exactly how it worked out. I don't remember much about it, but this is about 7 years ago.
What can you tell me about the Dewey Decimal System, Missile? I want to know.
Do they have it in there?
I Googled up every single – it's an online class. I Googled up every single answer. There wasn't really tests or anything. Or maybe they're quizzes.
Dewey had to have a really boring life to figure out how he was going to organize all those books in the library. I don't think he was doing many fun things.
When was he around? Like the early 1900s? Like, what was he going to do? Turn
on
the TV?
It was a long time ago. I learned about the Dewey Decimal System in, like, I feel like it was fourth or fifth grade library.
He was going to get outside and probably strangle an animal and put it on the dinner table, do some things that real men did back in the day.
He was looking for a bobcat.
I have one more question based on yesterday's show content. If someone calls in today and wants to discuss the failings of Kevin Durant in the fourth quarter, will they be allowed on the show?
Well, the answer is no, but it's also like saying, you know, what if Bigfoot called in? You know, it's not – there's no one out there. It's already been dispelled.
But talking about –
there's no argument to be made.
There's no argument that Kevin Durant was awful last night, and he was –
Oh,
unbelievably
about,
awful in the crunch.
I thought you meant in 2016. Oh no, if he was awful last night, it'll be heard.
Well, he already said yesterday that that was never, ever, ever, ever to be brought up again on his show. So I don't think anybody's dumb enough to challenge him. But Mark's asking if they can bring up what happened yesterday, if that's going to be on the table.
Oh no, they can bring up what happened yesterday. Absolutely.
Okay. Here's my one question. Was there a person? What spawned that on yesterday? What was the leading force? Like, do you have any idea? Something
apparently
had to get
Monday,
to
him. There was a caller that blamed Durant. And there's a lot of people that just blame Durant. And Jim wanted to point out it wasn't just Durant. You know, it was Westbrook didn't have a good game. Klay Thompson just lit the world on fire. It wasn't Andre Robertson's fault. He had a huge game. But
everyone, I don't know, maybe not everyone. I guess I've always 100% realized that both the stars stunk. I thought they were both bad. But, like, I mean, Oklahoma City Thunder fans are upset because their star left and because Russell Westbrook stuck around to try to take down Golden State and Kevin Durant joined him. I'm not saying I've never been one that's gotten on Kevin Durant. I've been far more critical of his antics, what he's had to say, how he handled his business than him actually making that decision, though I wouldn't have done it. He has the opportunity to do it. But Thunder fans, if you're a fan, there's been a lot of people that have been critical of Kevin Durant, former NBA basketball players saying that he took the cheap way out. And I guess my question was, because Mark and I never talk about that, and he kept talking about other hosts. The only host that I've heard talk about Kevin Durant called him a coward the day it happened and continually brings up Game 6 is the guy he's on with, Al Eschbeck. So he could have just yelled at Al and had that talk with Al as opposed to what it felt like calling out everybody on the station for being Thunder homers and somehow turning a blind eye to the fact that Russell Westbrook played like junk in that series too. Like,
I don't think he was calling everyone out. You know, he's just calling some people out that he's just tired of hearing that it's Durant's fault for Game 6.
But that's the question we have, is who's he hearing that from?
That's what I'm saying. Like, where's this coming from?
Well, there was a caller on Monday.
Got him that angry that he called out his super secret research team to pull up all this data?
Well, that was the final straw. I don't think he just meant that they heard it all yesterday, but, you know, throughout the years, the last couple of years. And he just wanted to put the myth to bed.
During the summer months where there's nothing Thunder-related really
you
going
buy
on,
into
you know
this
saying, way. The summer
you
league is going to happen,
missile.
Can we give Russell Westbrook a moratorium for a couple of days, like from being free from criticism? I'm talking about 48 hours, maybe 72, where Russell Westbrook isn't brought up in a negative way.
I think we can because, you know, Westbrook's going to do – there's going to be some things that happen where Westbrook isn't.
There's going to be an opportunity every 72 hours to say Russell Westbrook will never win a championship.
I don't know. We'll see.
What are you putting the over-under on, Mark? You think he can make it to next week?
No, I don't think he can go 72 hours.
It would be tough. He would have to really, he'd have to really try.
We're not going to discuss this segment. We might get into it sometime in next hour, is that – you know, like the hot take sensations of today. Fox Sports has two of the greatest, with Skip and Colin. That Colin Cowherd did not have Russell Westbrook in his top 10 players in the NBA. That's pretty ridiculous. I mean, I feel ridiculous sometimes even bringing up to point it out when Skip criticizes LeBron, how foolish he is and how foolish he looks.
Ignorant.
It's the same with Colin Cowherd. Can you not put Russell Westbrook in the top 10 players in the NBA?
I think equally as stupid with his list, and by the way, before he moved networks and he was on a different slot, I used to listen to him all the time. I'm a big fan. I think he's fantastic.
He's a good show host. Right.
But he gets caught, just like what you're talking about with, you know, these vendettas that he cannot even see clearly. He gets so deep into it, and he keeps digging and digging and digging and digging himself a deeper hole. But to not have Russell was ignorant, but to have Ben Simmons at 5? I mean, listen, Ben Simmons is a phenomenal talent, but right now, today, Ben Simmons being the 5th best player in the NBA, I mean, that's as psychotic as saying that Russell Westbrook isn't the top 10. But in my opinion, the only reason he puts him in there is just to spite Russell Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? Like, to put a rookie in his top five and not put Russell Westbrook, the reigning MVP, even his top 10. Like,
whatever the deficiency in Russell Westbrook's game is, it's nowhere near the glaring deficiency that Ben Simmons has.
Hey, you know what? You know what else I'll say? And this is, we can close it up for this segment with this. One thing that it has become extremely apparent to me, and since I've been at the station, fortunately, for 3.5 fantastic years, there's been a lot made of Oklahoma City late in games shot selection. You know what I've come to find, Mark? There's bad shot selection all over the league. I've seen it with the Houston Rockets.
Last night was a clinic.
I've seen it with the Golden State Warriors. I've seen it with the Boston Celtics. I've seen it with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So this isn't just a Russell Westbrook issue or an Oklahoma City Thunder issue. Late in games, there's a lot of bad shots that are made, and there's a lot of bad decisions that are made. I think that's been extremely apparent, especially here in the conference finals.
All right, we'll take a break. We're going to get back into that a little bit later on in the show. We got Royce Young coming up next hour. I am at the metal store today in Edmond. So if you need anything metal built, roof, you name it, 22 years of metal roofing and metal building experience right here in one building, 340-0800, themetalstoreok.com. They're open today till 4:30, open Friday till 4, top of the line estimating programs, and no project is too big or too small for the folks here at the metal store. Stay tuned. The Monsters of the Midday. Except for the likeness on the plaque.
I think I'm attractive, Mark?
I think you are, Dusty. I think you're very... Oh, everything about you I find attractive, Dusty.
Wow. Warm and fuzzies right now.
I think
it's come
that...
a long way since me yelling at you about Andre Iguodala at about 11:05.
I didn't take it personal. That's okay. I don't see it differently. Brandy, the guy that's making these plaques, whether it be Mark Andrews, Baker Mayfield, or Brandy Chastain, he has seen the zombie apocalypse that is in the future. And he's the only person that's been able to look into the future. And he knows that this is what these people are going to look like one day when the zombies return. So that's all I can figure. Somebody else out there can do a better job on the plaques.
I'm telling you, we spent a lot of time yesterday. It's honestly, it seems in 2018 impossible that a company could be this bad at trying to bring to life someone's likeness. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like bobbleheads and stuff. Like, I mean, everything. Like, you can get things spot on. And I mean, if it was just a bad rendition or a bad likeness, that'd be one thing. But these don't even look anything like the people, Mark. Like, there's no features that even look remotely like it. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me how we've gone to these depths in the plaque and statue world.
My good friend Daniel Holdage and Kelly Kroll, they got me a present of a bobblehead when I left Channel 5. And I tell you, I think it looks like my spitting image. It's Mark, my doppelganger. It's me 8 inches tall.
In your dreams, pal. Hey,
never mind. I won't go there.
At the Bob Stoops statue unveil, which that was a really nice statue, by the way. It's fantastic. They deserve a raise. Everyone got a bobblehead of Coach Stoops. Mark, this thing had the bad pinky, okay? I mean, this is a bobblehead. Like, and they made like 1,000 of them. Like, you think that on a plaque that means something, you get this right. Here's what I will say. They're going to redo Brandy Chastain's, as they should. I would bet just about any amount of money we'll see the same for Baker and Mark Andrews, the Mackey Award winner. There's no way they're going to leave those things up at OU.
Not unless they're their zombie rendering. That would be the only way.
Oh, man. If people would quit trying to devote their time to research and trying to be key pieces on sports talk radio shows, maybe we'd have enough fine people out there in the job force that could get these plaques done at a little bit higher level of
accuracy. University of Oklahoma baseball teams closely resembled those plaques today. They played terrible. They kicked the ball all over the place. They lose to Baylor, so they go to the loser's bracket. They were shut out in the game, so they will face the loser of Kansas and Texas coming up tomorrow, I do believe. But I have better news for the listeners of this show and this station. Is that coming up next hour, the chopping block, where Dusty and I will argue about a sports topic, and someone will win free food to Mickey Mantle's, which is an outstanding deal. All of that is going to take place in the next hour. We'll get more into some of the NFL rule changes, what happened with the national anthem discussion, why I believe that the owners are not the bad people in this latest ruling that they voted for unanimously. We'll have Royce Young and much more. Do not change that dial. Maybe you'll be the one that wins the free stuff. Stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday.
Here's to be another beautiful day out there in Oklahoma. Mark, I went to our favorite place yesterday. I went to Belmar after work. Course is in fantastic shape. And fortunately, I did not have to worry about getting struck with a putter yesterday. So I think that deems a successful day on the golf course based off of the story we read coming out of Edmond yesterday.
Nobody, anybody that's a member at Belmar does not want to be kicked out. You know what I mean? So they're not going to assault anyone with a putter. I mean,
here's what I love.
It's a place of fine decorum there.
Here's what I loved. As I was getting up to the number one tee box, we had a group of some gentlemen in our age demographic, and they're big fans of the show, and they thought they loved our story about the putter. So they were listening, and they got a good kick out of that, and we were telling some playing through jokes yesterday. So I think we did have someone behind us, and I believe we allowed them to play through. But either way, as I said yesterday, when you're on a golf course, man, just sit back, relax, and realize you're better off than probably any other place you could be at that particular moment. So if somebody wants to play through, someone's playing slow, just sit back, relax, take a breath, and please put the putter down. As we mentioned before the break, it is time for the chopping block. So we do need a caller on the line, 460-9957, 460-WWLS. All you have to do is call and you will win, I believe, a gift card to the excellent Mickey Mantle Steakhouse. Mark and I will debate a topic. You will choose a winner, but the reality is you are the real winner, and no choice is a wrong choice. Marcus, by the way, where are you at today?
I'm at the Metal Store at 225 West Waterloo Road in Edmond, and their number is 348-0800. If you're thinking about having something metal built, whether it's a building or a roof, that's the number you should call, 348-0800. You can see their handiwork at themetalstoreok.com. Statewide delivery is available. Top-of-the-line estimating programs, we're going to give you a great price. Customer service is at the forefront of what they do, Oklahoma owned and operated. And Doug, my man, Doug here is going to be at the NCAA Golf Championships at Garston beginning on Saturday. He's going to be working for the Golf Channel, passing along a little bit of scoring information. I'm going to be there as well, Dusty. I'm checking it out at Carson Creek, where you've decided that you're just not going to join us, or Doug. You're not going to hang out with either one of us.
You've been bragging about it for quite some time now. Let's get on to the game.
It's the Monsters of the Midday Chopping Block. Sponsored by Mickey Mantle Steakhouse, offering the summer cookout kit for home, which includes your choice of all-natural beefsteak, rub, and two sides. On the chopping block with Mickey Mantle Steakhouse and WWLS, the sports animal.
All right, it's time to play the chopping block, and our winner today is Warden. Warden, how you doing?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
That's something well. I hope so you never, ever have to say.
Like you run the prison or what? I mean, what's going on? I mean, it's
hello, Warden.
It's a good name, but it's not a name that I hear every day. So is this like a nickname or your given name?
That's my God-given name.
Very nice.
And I'm not in that profession, so.
When someone
you
had, when you walk
have to
in,
hire you immediately if you were if you walked into a prison and you said my
I'd
name,
be sure
you would be.
It's Warden. Warden. Okay, are you a fan of the show? You want to play the game?
I'm a fan of the show, I just have to agree with Dusty, right?
Man,
wait
you know
a minute, Warden.
Well. Missile, you're up.
All right. So for those that don't know how to play, I ask a question to the guys. Mark and Dusty will debate it, and then Warden will pick the winner. Today's question is, which NHL team do you want to win the Stanley Cup? Mark Rogers, we'll start with you.
Warden, do you know much about hockey here? Are you an ice skater? You from Canada?
A little bit about hockey, but...
don't patronize the Warden.
I'm not. I was just asking some questions. I just wanted to know what I'm working with here. That makes me feel a little bit better because... I think that if you know a little bit about hockey, you know about the Washington Capitals and the franchise, and they've been in existence for over 30 years, a long period of time, and they've never had any success. They've never won a Stanley Cup. And matter of fact, it's very similar to the Chicago Cubs stories, is that there's a lot of failure
when you would think that this is a team that should have some success. They've got one of the top players in the world in Alexander Ovechkin, who's a veteran now. He's been in hockey for a long time, and he hasn't ever been able to raise the Stanley Cup to his lips to sip from the holy grail of hockey. And I know that Wharton, as a man that is involved in prisons and things like that, that you are, you want people to have to earn things. And you don't want to give it to a bunch of young whippersnappers that come onto the block, you know, right out of the chute to a glitzy, glamorous city like Las Vegas. You're for the blue-collar man. You're for the franchise like the Washington Capitals. Matter of fact, in our nation's capital, America, a team that is red, white, and blue. You want that franchise to get what's coming to them and to earn. America. To earn this Stanley Cup. America. Not Las Vegas.
Oh, man, are you done?
I rest my case.
I got to say, that was, I mean, come on. Wharton, I mean, even though you're going to disagree with him, we do have to acknowledge that that was well played by Mark. He's trying to go at our beloved country to win you over. Well done, Mark Rogers. Well done. Here's the reality, okay? You shouldn't feel sorry for the Capitals. You know what they need to do? Get better. Well, you mean care? And you want to compare a 100-year-old curse of the Cubs to a 30-year-old dismal franchise in the Washington Capitals that really no one even cares about? No, 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 no. Here's the other part of it. They haven't even made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. They got to play a Game 7 in Tampa tonight. So if you want them to win, you go ahead. The reality is they're going to be fishing come tomorrow. Who you want to win the Stanley Cup is the Las Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, first of all, Vegas is a fantastic city. We all know and love it. But let's really look at what this team is about. You know, Mark mentions the common man, the everyday man. This team is comprised of 30 players that the other 30 franchises in the NHL didn't want. They didn't protect them. So there's an expansion draft. The Las Vegas Knights, they have to go select one player from each team. These are misfits. These are outcasts that no one else wanted. And they've come together to give the big middle finger to the rest of the NHL world and to say, we are going to do something special. We are going to do something great. Nobody believed in us, but we believe in us, Wharton. We believe in ourselves. And isn't that what sports is about? About doing things that are not supposed to be able to be done. Like the Houston Rockets last night, slaying the Dragon for one night in Golden State. Nope, they were 500-1 odds to win the Stanley Cup before the year started. They've already won their conference, and they've got their seat and their opportunity to win a Stanley Cup championship. It's the best story in NHL history. It's one of the best stories in American sports if they're able to finish it off. And you know as well as I do, Wharton, you want the Golden Knights to hoist the Lord Stanley Cup trophy.
All right, Wharton, pick our winner.
Well, prison is full of misfits, and I'm going with Dusty. Washington.
Wharton,
I
thought
better.
You were a true American patriot. I'm sad. No, that's not the case.
Oh, baby! Hey,
Dusty,
we love the name.
Dvorak
has won the game! A miracle!
And enjoy Mickey Mantle Steakhouse. Great show.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you. I got to say, I give it up.
When Ward goes in there, I know people at Mickey Mantle's. I've got moles.
Do you know
at Mickey
people?
Mantles. I got a team at Mickey Mantle's, and when Wharton goes in there after I made that argument today, I'm gonna make sure that he gets a piece of carp on his steak that he thinks is sea bass.
Don't listen to that, Wharton. You'll be treated with nothing but the utmost respect when you go into Mickey Mantle's Steakhouse. Marcus, we're going to talk with the great Royce Young of ESPN.com next segment. Always great to chat with him about the NBA playoffs. There are a couple of newsy NFL pieces that I would like to mention with you. First and foremost, huge news out of the NFL. Missile, do we have the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell? Okay, so this all came about since we've been on the air, and good job, Missile, grabbing the audio. But here's Roger Goodell speaking about the NFL's new national anthem policy.
From our standpoint, this is a great opportunity to continue that partnership with our players and keep the focus on the progress and the programs that we think are so important in the communities. We're proud of that support, and we think that that's how change is really going to be made. Clearly, our objective as a league and to all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful at the national anthem. We want people to stand. that's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We have been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that that moment is an important moment and one that we are going to focus on.
Okay, that was Roger Goodell. So what he did not mention in that is, now this was voted on by all 32 owners, and it was unanimous. All NFL personnel, players, anyone associated with the team, if you're on the field for the national anthem, you must stand and honor our nation's anthem. But unlike previously, they're going to rewrite the NFL guidelines. And if you don't want to stand and pay respect to the national anthem, you can stay in the locker room. You can stay out of sight. But if you are on the field, you must stand. If you don't comply, teams will be fined, and teams within themselves have the right to discipline individual players as they see fit. I've already seen, my number one thing, what I would have done if I was such a divisive issue, I would have done the same thing as college football. I would have just tried to completely eliminate the situation so it isn't a situation, Mark, and I would have just kept the players and the staff in the locker room until after the national anthem. But they want to do it this way. I love our nation. I love our nation's anthem. I proudly stand with my hand over my heart, even still when I'm calling a game up in the booth. I love all the things that this country's given me, and the least I can do is stand and respect when the anthem is played. But if you don't want to do that, you now have an alternate thing that you can do, and you can go sit inside. But, Mark, the Players Association is not happy. They've already prepared a form of a statement, and they're basically saying that we will look this over we'll get back to you on how we feel about it. But initial statements are that the Players Association not very happy with this new ruling by the NFL.
Yeah, the NFL though is at least giving the players an option that don't feel like that they wanted to stand for the anthem to stay in the locker room. I don't see a problem with that. I think the NFL got this one right. I think that they've eliminated the fact for any shenanigans out there. If you want to do something different, then you can kneel. I just get people today, I think, blame that. Like the people that are in charge of this country don't necessarily mean that they're this country, right? I mean, this country was built over 200 years ago. And there's going to be different people in charge at some point in time if you're not happy with the people that are in charge. But the freedoms that we enjoy in the United States are due to the people that have fought for this country and all those things. I just think that's the wrong way to express something. You have the freedom to express things the way that you want. You've got social media. We can express ourselves today more than at any time ever in history. And so when the anthem is played, I think you don't need to make that a political statement. It's not about who the president is today, okay? Because there's been many presidents of the United States. There's going to be another president of the United States in the future. I don't think it should be a political statement based on how you feel as somebody is currently in office. It's not a left-wing versus right-wing situation. It's not a liberal versus conservative situation where so many people seem to get myopic about that and wrapped up in it. They can't see what's the bigger picture here. So bravo, NFL. I think they've done this right.
I'm with you. I just hope it's not an issue. That's my one thing. Like, this is their league. They've made their rule. They've given people an outlet, another option if they don't want to stand and honor the anthem. They're not mandating that you do it, but they are mandating if you're on the field, this is what we expect out of our players. I really hope, Mark, that the Players Association, this doesn't become another divisive issue, and that they get upset and they want to fight this. Just accept what the new rule is, and hopefully we can all get on about our business. And the people that want to respect the national anthem is going to do so, and the people that don't, they're going to have their opportunity as well. But I fear, Mark, this it's not going to go that easily. Unfortunately, I don't think that the players are just going to say, yeah, it sounds good, we're all in.
What recourse do the players have in that situation, the Players Association?
I don't know everything, but what I would say is potentially they could say that's not what we signed. You know, that's not the collective bargaining agreement that we agreed to. So for them to amend something, I'm guessing on some level, it has to be approved and okayed by the other party, right? I mean, that's my guess.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess the only thing that they could do was would be try to, if they really wanted to dig their heels in the sand and say, well, we're not going to, I can't imagine it gets to that point, but again, I can just see to where NFLPA and the players are gonna be upset.
I was kind
not
of
all
the fence.
Players.
I'm kind of on the fence on the with the way that is what's been going on here recently. I mean, like, I'm not going to try to make somebody in the NFL espouse my own political views. But if you want so bad to make a scene in the national anthem that it's not good enough for you that you don't have to come out to hear it, come on, man. I mean, really, that's really ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't have to come out and stand for the national anthem if you don't want to. It's going to be very apparent that you're not on the field when you come walking out after the anthem is over, all right? So you can make your statement that way. But if you want to be so upset that now you just want to sit or take a knee during the national anthem, that's ridiculous to me. Like I said, again, I'm not mad at you if you don't like the current people in power of the United States, but if you don't like being American or you don't like paying homage to the people that have given the ultimate sacrifice for this country, then go find another place, man. I mean, seriously. Really. I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to come out there. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's making you do anything. You can abstain from seeing the anthem played. I don't get why people want to choose to make this big a deal when now they have an option. You know what I mean? They had an option before. There's still an option.
Totally agree. And this is what the players' union has already responded by. It's kind of exactly what I said, Mark. Quote, the vote by NFL club CEOs today contradicts the statements made to our player leadership by Commissioner Roger Goodell and the chairman of the NFL's management council, John Mara, about the principles, values, and patriotism of our league. Our union will review the new policy and challenge any aspect of it that is inconsistent with the collective bargaining agreement. So, again, that doesn't... To my point, that does not sound like the NFLPA saying, yeah, sounds good, we're all in. I mean, it sounds like they are potentially going to be divisive with this. And I think it's ridiculous for all the things you just said. I mean, it's like, at the end of the day, I mean, the national anthem, it should not be this divisive of an issue. And it should not be the focus of heading into the NFL season, in my opinion. I mean, it's a great acknowledgement. It's a great display of respect for our country prior to the game. And I really wish that it would not have ever been made into the scale of issue that it has become. But now that the NFL's got policy in place, like we've talked about, if the players are not going to come back and continue to drag this out, oh, Mark, it's going to be very frustrating. I mean, it really is.
I'm with you. I agree with that. A couple other NFL items. Hunter Henry tore his ACL. That's a tough break for the Chargers. He's a really good young tight end that I think is going to only get better. This would be his third season in the league. And then the NFL draft is heading to the lovely city of Nashville. My brother's moving to Nashville. Maybe I can go watch the draft next year.
Nashville's a great city, Mark.
I've been in Nashville only for a short amount of time, so I'm looking forward to spending a little bit more time there.
It's a good city. I've only been there a couple times as well for work, but man, it's a really good city, and I hear rave reviews. So I think it's cool that they're moving this thing around and to see the different fan bases get excited about it. I mean, that's the one thing I always say about the NFL, the way they market themselves, they own the calendar, and they make things events. The NFL draft is now an event. It had 100,000 people inside and outside Jerry World this year for a draft. I mean, they get it in the marketing aspect and how to really brand themselves and sell their different type events. I got one more thing that I thought was newsy. I still think he's the best quarterback in pro football. Aaron Rodgers was asked about Dez Bryant. Here's what he said.
Like young receivers, so I'm assuming that's the way they're going to keep going. I don't know why you'd cut Jordy and bring in Dez. But, you know, he's down a player. He's going to end up somewhere.
Okay, so that was Aaron Rodgers on Dez Bryant. Doesn't sound like they're bringing in Dez Bryant. But one thing I completely disagree with him on is he said, why would you let go of Jordy and bring in Dez? Because I think Jordy Nelson was costing like $11-12 million a year. Maybe off on the numbers, but somewhere in there. You could potentially get Dez Bryant right now for pennies on the dollar. So just from a fiscal standpoint, just from a money standpoint, Dez Bryant is a much more appealing player based off what you're going to have to spend to get his services. So that's the one place I disagree. You can get Dez Bryant for almost rookie money and have a veteran player who I still think's got some gas left in the tank.
You know what's crazy is that, Dusty, I think we've really done a pretty good job of having people on our show that have played with Dez or guys that have covered Dez, like Brad Sham and Brandon Whedon. And to a man, they've all said sideline antics don't represent who he is as a teammate, that he's a better teammate than what it looks like. You know what I'm saying? I think this is a little bit of a football issue, but I think the optics of his sideline antics are affecting his free agency to an extent. What other people want to deal with him?
Here's what it is. Well, first of all, he's got an accountability issue. Like, I mean, that's well documented.
Correct.
Late for meetings, not doing all the things behind the scenes. I think those are things that teams don't want to deal with. Teams will deal with that kind of stuff if you're an elite player. If you're an average player, they don't want to deal with it. Okay, it's just a headache. It's not worth it. It's risk reward. If you're not the productive player you once were, we're not dealing with your crap. So I think the accountability issue is one part of it. And there's probably, to a degree, just like, you know, the sideline antics, while I don't think that it was a problem inside the Dallas Cowboy locker room, once again, it's just another thing that you're inviting onto your team and that you have to deal with. And it's like, do I really want to deal with that? Do I really want to deal with all that comes with Dez Bryant? He's got the drops. He doesn't separate. The play's diminishing. And he's got these other deals. For me, it's a yes. But to this point, nobody stepped up and signed him. I will be stunned if Dez Bryant wants to play in the National Football League, which by all indications he 100% does, if he's not on a roster at the start of next season. That will shock me.
He'll be on a roster somewhere.
I agree. I think he'll be on a roster. I think he's going to be helping people. Mark is at the Metal Store. I'm in the studio today. And we've got Royce Young of ESPN breaking down the NBA playoffs joining us next.
Hands it off to Paul with six to shoot. Curry's got him hemmed in. Paul holding. Whips a pass to the opposite corner. Ariza, one to shoot. Gets off a three for the lead, and he hits. The Rockets, for the first time, have a lead in the fourth quarter in the playoffs in this building.
Rockets win 95-92. It wasn't the prettiest, but, man, it was competitive and fun to watch last night. We got Mark Rogers at the Metal Store in Edmond today. We'll check in with him after a while, but now let's go to Royce Young of ESPN. 2-2, we got a series, Royce.
Dusty, is this where we pat ourselves on the back and say that we called this or what?
Oh, no.
Listen,
man.
No,
that's not the way I want to get double teamed.
This is, easy now. This is where I will say I think that me, you, and the missile can all three somewhat pat ourselves on the back. Somewhat.
Could we have a threesome?
Well, okay, Jim. Here's why. Because my whole thing was this. I thought Houston was going to make it a very competitive series. Mm-hmm. And they have to this point. And I think that more so than what really anybody thought, most people thought this would be a runaway. Possible sweep, if not five games. More than likely won't even make it back to Golden State for a game six. And I just thought that Houston, for the people that thought that they were at least going to show up, compete, and make it tough on the Golden State Warriors, they gave us some vindication, I felt like, last night.
That's how I feel about it. Look, you know, I picked the Rockets in seven, and I think that possibility, you know, obviously that possibility exists. The series is at least going six games. As I stand here right now, I lean towards the Warriors winning the series just based on what we've seen. But I do think, like you said, Dusty, I think that what you've seen out of games two and now games four is the reason so many people, or some people, not so many, some people felt like the Rockets did have a chance in this series. This is a good team. They didn't win 65 games by just complete accident. They didn't just fall into 65 wins. They are extremely good defensively. They, you know, people have critiqued them on the offensive end and the ISO stuff, and they're very bothered by how the Rockets play. But that's what they do. They're really good at it. James Harden's maybe the best one-on-one player in the NBA. Chris Paul can knock down big shots. They can space the floor. They've got solid role players. They check a whole lot of boxes. And when they set up and they line up against the Warriors, they can match up with them, and they can run their switching defense. They can do a lot of different things. And if Golden State's not knocking down shots, look, I think that you can look at game one and you can look at game three and the way that the Warriors played, really that third quarter too in game four, when the shots are going in, nobody beats the Warriors. That's just who they are. That's what we talked about when they won by 41 after game three. When they're making shots and they can just avalanche you like that, you're not going to win. It's just over with. You just say goodbye to the game and you move on to the next one. But they're not going to shoot that way every single time. And if you can beat them in that knockdown, drag out, gritty type of game, because that's the thing about the Warriors, they know how to win those type of games as well. But I think you saw some of their Achilles heel, Dusty, last night when things get really kind of ragged and tough in some of those ways. I mean, they made three buckets in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I think that they misused Kevin Durant. I think you saw some of the frustrations that people had with the Thunder's late-game offense come to a front with the Warriors. You know, that the offense the Warriors were running in that fourth quarter was disgusting. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know how to get into any sets. They didn't get any good looks, really. And, you know, and I think a lot of that had to do with Durant. And Durant, because that's the thing, Durant wants the ball in his hands. His instinct is to get the ball in a mismatch and go isolation. That's what he wants to do. And it's hard to break him of that in a close game because he wants the ball in those shots, except for that last possession, which I found very strange that he gave it up to Klay Thompson.
Royce, in your opinion, going back 2 years ago, who had more blame in the Game 6 Thunder? No. What happened was last night was this, is that the Rockets' defense reached such a frenetic pace that it sped up the Golden State offense to the point where they lost their mind. They took a lot of bad shots. They didn't, you know, that's a team that has so many weapons on offense that they just need to slow the game down a little bit. So I'm agreeing with you that I think the Rockets, I don't think they're going to be able to force Golden State into that level where they take bad shots. And I think the Warriors will realize, hey, you know, we move the ball around, we're going to eventually get some good looks here. But that's impressive to me, no matter what ends up in this series, even if the Rockets lose in six, is that the defense of Houston was able to force Golden State into that bad fourth quarter. It was pretty impressive for what they did. So my hat's off to the Rockets on last night. Their defense was the difference.
And the other thing about it, too, Mark, is that there's not many teams, maybe one or two teams in the entire NBA, that can take one of those Steph flurries like he had in the third quarter and go down 10 and respond from that. Most teams just roll over and die, and 10 becomes 16, becomes 22, and you end up losing by 30. And for the Rockets, after experiencing that in Game 3, to be able to bounce back in Game 4 and have that kind of response. And, of course, there's context to that game. No Andre Iguodala. But, you know, I will say this about Iguodala. And Iguodala has been good in this postseason. But literally a month ago, people were wondering how washed up the guy was. So, I mean, like, I don't know that we can completely just say, like, oh, man, no Andre Iguodala.
That wasn't the reason why they lost last night. But they're much better with him on the floor for so many reasons.
And the same goes for Klay Thompson. He tweaked his knee, and he was clearly struggling. You know, he struggled with his shot. He struggled to get open, kind of lost some of his explosiveness, didn't move off the ball quite as well. But you touched on it, Mark, and it's the truth. Last night's game reminded me a lot of Game 7 in 2016 against the Cavaliers, where it just got kind of discombobulated, and it seemed to me like the Warriors lost their poise. They look like the type, like a pickup basketball team, when it's like, you know, you need a three to win. And it's like everybody just stands around the three-point line and starts just chucking threes. It's like, well, we need a three to win. And instead of just getting a good possession and taking what's available to you, it was like they lost their poise. They just started launching crazy shots. And I think that had as much to do with anything as anything else.
No one can deny, and I'm not going to attempt to deny, that Andre Iguodala is a good player and he serves a good role for this team. But the Golden State Warriors have four future Hall of Famers in their starting lineup. I'm sorry, those guys were bad when they needed to be good last night. That's why Golden State lost, not because Andre Iguodala was not on the floor. And I'll also say, Klay Thompson wasn't the only guy out there last night who was a little bit banged up. And that's why, for me, I've always been somewhat a Chris Paul fan, that was the most impressive half of basketball I've seen from him, because I thought he willed that team to victory when they got down 12 a second time late in that third
quarter. I'm co-signing on that.
Yeah, absolutely. That shot that he hit on the right wing, Dusty.
Right after Durant's big shot.
Oh, that was a massive response. I mean, you know, drawing the parallels, I know it was far earlier in the game. It wasn't quite the same, you know, moment as Kyrie Irving's, but it was kind of a similar spot, kind of a similar setup. Not the same defender, but, you know, it had that kind of level of, like, impact of, like, man, the Rockets needed something at that moment. Chris Paul came up in a lot of those moments. You know, James Harden – you know, he finished with a good number of points, and he had a few moments, but really Harden wasn't that great. And that's kind of to your point about Iguodala. You know, he's been kind of the primary guy on Harden for a lot of this series. And it wasn't like Harden just, you know, he was good. He had some great moments in the first half. I mean, good grief, James Harden, the poster on Draymond. That I thought the best play of the game, honestly, was the when he drew the two defenders on the fast break and dropped it off to Chris Paul for the layup. That was just an incredibly gorgeous play. And then he picked Durant's pocket right after that. So Harden had his moments, but it wasn't like he just took over and slammed the door. It was more Chris Paul than it was James Harden.
Hey, you just tweeted out a few minutes ago an Ian Begley report about Royale Ivy possibly going to the Knicks. Is there trouble in the Thunder staff? Is there dissension?
No, I think it's more just a promotion probably for Royale. I mean, he started his career with, you know, the Oklahoma City Blue and was promoted up to the Thunder. You know, a lot of people kind of made this assumption that it was because he's, you know, very, very close friends with Kevin Durant. It was kind of a Durant recruiting thing, and I'm sure there was that kind of element to it because Royale Ivy and Kevin Durant are still very close. But, you know, I think that, you know, Royale Ivy, being around him, being around people that have been around him, he knows what he's doing, and he's a very intense guy. He loves playing pickup with the players, and, you know, in my mind, he's probably head coaching material at some point down the line. You know, he's got to get a little more experience, and that's probably what he's looking for. Maybe if he lands on David Fizdale's staff, is to climb the ladder a little. But, you know, like right now, he's probably, I don't know what he is in the pecking order in the Thunder assistants, but he's probably, you know, fourth or fifth, so he's probably just trying to move up the bench.
Hey, last thing I've got from last night's game, and I'd also love to get a prediction from you for tonight's game, but 12 seconds left, down a basket. What were your thoughts on Steve Kerr? I thought Steve Kerr was fine in allowing them. I just thought Kevin Durant made a terrible decision and kind of panicked whenever pressure came to him. But what do you think about Steve Kerr's decision to let him play it out instead of call a timeout and draw something up?
It's one of those things when you fail in those moments, Dusty, people then second guess the fact that you didn't lose the timeout, that you didn't use your timeout. If Kevin Durant comes up and the floor is spaced and he knocks down a pull-up three, then people are going to be like, brilliant. What a brilliant move by Steve Kerr. So, I mean, it's like kind of one of those things where, like, you know, the result dictates how we judge what happened there. I like not using the timeout in most of those situations, especially when your team like the Warriors, you've got all your players on the floor. The Rockets are, you know, trying to scramble to match up. They're trying to kind of get their assignments called out. And no team plays better in random basketball than the Golden State Warriors. I mean, all it takes is just one little slip or one little breakdown, and all of a sudden Klay Thompson's wide open or Curry's wide open. I think the biggest problem there was Durant gave up the ball for no reason. You know, he had the ball top of the key in space, one-on-one matchup, and he kind of drove himself into a little bit of trouble. And I think he might have thought Klay Thompson was going all the way to the rim on that back cut, and that's the reason he gave it up. But it was an odd pass. It was strange for Durant to give it up there. That's not, you know, that's normally the moment that you want. There's one player you want the ball in his hands in that spot. It's Kevin Durant, because he can get a shot over anybody. So I don't mind. I think Steve Kerr made the right call not calling timeout. I just think that his players let him down, quite honestly.
Who you got tonight, the Capitals or the Lightning?
Oh, man. I heard you guys' discussion. I mean, I'm Team Vegas, too. Put me on the Team Vegas bandwagon. Like, I can't believe, Mark, that you would root against such a great sports story.
Here's the truth, though. He tried to use America in his argument. He's un-American, okay? Because, like, Vegas is the American story. Like, right?
Isn't Vegas the unofficial capital of America anyway? Like, it's kind of like...
No doubt.
I mean, it kind of is, right? So, I mean, like... No, I mean, I'd like to see the Capitals win. I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I'm well aware of their tortured history, so... I'd be pro-Capitals in this situation.
We don't...
Is this because Kevin Durant's from Washington, D.C. that you don't like the Capitals?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think that's it. That's it.
Something's got to give here tonight. Does LeBron and his crew
get it done?
Or does Boston stay undefeated home in this postseason?
I got LeBron and the Cavs. You know, I picked the Cavs to win this series in six games, so this has kind of gone... This is set up for me to be correct, so I gotta go with my initial pick. And LeBron in you know, game fives in Boston, it was game six in Boston in 2012, I believe, where he stepped up in such a big time way. But you know, so he's had a history of stepping up and doing, you know, amazing things in Boston. And, you know, I kind of wonder if the Cavs punching back the way that they did is kind of rattled the young Celtics, if the Celtics are now kind of doubting themselves a little bit. You know, I think the Cavs have discovered a few things in exposing some of Brad Stevens' switching tendencies. And, you know, if those young players are not playing great, then, you know, this has kind of been the story of the Celtics throughout the season. You know, everybody's riding high on them, and they've earned their reputation in the postseason. But, you know, they went through a stretch there in mid-March, early April, where they didn't play well. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that they just couldn't score, and they didn't know where to go for buckets. Terry Rozier has his kind of explosion in the postseason has helped that a lot, and Jason Tatum too. But, you know, I think that you can see times where the Celtics kind of go into a shell and they don't know what to do. And LeBron James is always going to move the scoreboard. So, you know, I like the Cavs going into Boston and getting it done.
As do I, and I'll just let you know, here on the Monsters of the Midday, we do not discriminate if you have a change of heart, as my great partner has done in this very series. He was with the
Cavs.
Get out
of here.
That's
with
Boston after two games. I think he might be back on Cleveland tonight, so you never know. But listen, we don't judge. We don't discriminate. No. If you have a change of heart, you can let it be felt right here.
Live in the moment.
Live in the moment. Great stuff, Royce. We'll talk to you Friday.
All right. See y'all.
I was just letting Royce know kind of how we operate here, Mark. That's all. Where are you at today?
The Metal Store, 225 West Waterloo Road. Make no mistake about it, 22 years in the metal roofing and metal building business, Oklahoma owned and operated. They're going to take care of any project you have that has to do with metal. TheMetalStoreOK.com, 348-0800 on Waterloo Road.
Video, I had a chance to work with Kesty last year on a college game, NFL game. Fantastic voice, fantastic guy. On the call last night, 95-92, Rockets win. It was a great first half for Harden. He was not nearly as effective in the second half, but in that second quarter, he was really the catalyst that got Houston the lead and really pushed it to a double-digit lead there in the first half.
He dropped the mic
Rogers
on that dunk.
Is with us today.
That was a moment that was... This was timeless, I think. Slamming it in Draymond's face.
Hang on real quick. Missile, is that right? I mean, currently, it's the next day. That's got to be a top five recognizable moment moving forward for James Harden as a Houston Rocket, right?
I want to be up there. The Draymond Green slam?
Yes.
That's got to be, yeah, that's up there, man.
It's not Robert Horry.
Did you hear the?
No, it's not Mario
Chris Weber call?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I was listening to the game. I mean, I was watching on TNT, so I heard Chris
Weber said
call.
Something intelligent?
Not really. No, not at all.
No, he showed his old face about five times. Oh. He was beside himself with that dunk. He couldn't even get out words. He's just making noises.
Not one of my favorites. C-Web.
Hey, where you at today, Mark? That is one of your favorites.
Thank you for asking. I'm at the Metal Store here at 225 West Waterloo Road in Edmond. We're barely in Edmond, man. We're almost in Logan County. 405-348-0800, themetalstoreok.com. 22 years of metal roofing and metal building experience right here, Oklahoma owned and operated. If you need something built, a metal building or the roof, then that is the number to call. You can visit them online at themetalstoreok.com to see the great work that they do. They're open at 4:30 today, Fridays from 7:30 to 4 p.m., so very accessible here at the Metal Store.
I'm going to give you the choice. You want to go funny or you want to go football before we hand
funny.
The baton to the ultimate? All right. The floor is yours, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know that I was going to read this. Well, earlier today, the fine men and women of the Oklahoma Highway Patrol were filming a commercial. You know, I mean, it's like want people to obey the traffic laws and do the things of that nature. And so it was about 7:30.
Did they consult with the ultimate?
They had an officer who was directing traffic out there. So the film crew would be okay. They needed to get the shots that they needed, you know, the live-action shots of traffic going on in the state of Oklahoma. Well, some old boy rolled up on a motorcycle, and he was confused. He had no idea that they were there to film a commercial. He thought they might be there to be conducting some kind of a traffic block, you know, where they were going to ask for license and registration, please. He knew that he had stolen that motorcycle, and so he jumped off the motorcycle before he arrived on the scene of the photo shoot. And started to run, and at what time they were apprehended the man. They even brought the dogs out and all that kind of stuff. So they got Gabriel Carter of Choctaw. Hopefully he's a listener of the show. And they took him down to the Pokey because he stole somebody's motorcycle. Shame on you, man. Gabe, don't take other people's stuff, okay? I mean, I know a good motorcycle is fun to ride, but that's somebody else's bike.
That's probably got to be karma. I mean, look, we do not condone theft, so the right thing happened, and the criminal has been brought to justice. But, man, that should be on one of those stupidest criminal videos, Mark. I mean, the guy is stolen the motorcycle. He's just cruising down the highway. He's scot-free. They're not even on the scent yet, and they're filming a commercial that he thinks is a roadblock potentially that could be getting him. So he just bails on the bike and takes off. Just keep driving, dude.
I'm going to say he was like the Warriors in the fourth quarter last night. The pressure was on him when he saw the patrolman there. And instead of maintaining his calm collectiveness and just go on through and wave and smile at everybody or take good shots like the Warriors have done all season long, he panicked and he paid the price.
He did.
Don't you think that's a good correlation to sports? We tied that all up in a bow now that we hand it off to the ultimate.
I think that is a perfect way to cap this show and transition to the man, the myth, the legend. Up next, it is the ultimate in the afternoon sports beat. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, different places. Keep it right here on the leader in sports, 98.1 WWLS, the Sports Animal.